Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Let's take the Word of God and we will go to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I said this morning it's good to have all my kids home. And Abby and Caleb are home for spring break just for a week. So we get them. And I get less food this week. I just want you to know that. And so anyway, but we're very thankful to have them home. And of course, my daughter, next month, she will actually graduate from college. It's hard to believe. And so we'll be obviously going up there for graduation. I have the great privilege to be able to preach her graduation at college. And so I look forward to that. I get to actually preach the last chapel service and then preach graduation. And they are not going to make me wear one of those robes, you know? Isn't that a blessing, you know? And I wore one for college graduation. I didn't want to... It looks like a dress, you know. I have a hard time with it, all right? But anyway, so I'm very thankful for that. Well, tonight I want to get right into the message. We do have the ministry update. I do these three or four that I do in a year, and I just think it helps our church to stay on the same page, and I love that time and to talk about the blessing of the Lord, and He is so good to our church. And we are very, very blessed. Tonight, I want to preach to you out of the book of Hebrews, and I want to talk about our Savior's present ministry. Our Savior's present ministry. We understand the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and for 33 and a half years walked upon the face of the earth, lived a sinless, blameless life. And yet He died upon the cross. He was buried in the borrowed tomb. And He rose again the third day. And He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of His Father. But the ministry of Jesus is not finished. Now, we understand that what He came to do on earth, that was complete. But now, His present ministry. What is He doing in your life and in my life? We come to Hebrews chapter 1, and let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter number 7, if you would please. The Bible clearly says that after He purchased our salvation, He paid for our sin debt, He sat down. Now, that's very significant. Why did he sit down? There's significance to that. We come to Hebrews chapter number 7, and let's begin in verse number 24. Hebrews 7, verse number 24. The Bible says, "But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." This evening, our Savior's present ministry. Let's pray together. Father, I'm asking you now, in the name of Jesus, to bless this message. Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach. It's such an honor to preach to your people. And Lord, these people love you. They want to follow you. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would understand your ministry in our lives at this time. That Lord, you are active and working. Guide us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Number one tonight, as we talk about our Savior's present ministry, number one, what is his ministry? He rules sitting at the right hand of the Father. He rules sitting at the Father's right hand. Now, by the way, I don't know that I have ever left work. And what I mean is from going home, from being a pastor and administrator for school and all that, I don't know that I've ever walked in the door and sat down and said, you know what? I finished everything I needed to finish today. How many would say more time than most? That's how you sit down. You never finished everything. You still have things to do. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Yeah, that's how it is it not? I mean, sometimes I come home, eat a bite, and get on the couch to sit down, not to rest, but to keep working, to do things, you know? Or phone calls to make, or messages to prepare, or whatever it may be. But can I tell you something? When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he said on the cross, after they were going to crucify the Son of God, he said, "It is finished." He was not saying he was finished, but the work that the Father gave him to do, it was complete. It was finished. And the Bible says that when Jesus rose from the grave, obviously he spent time still on the earth. He gave his disciples the Great Commission, and he ascended into heaven. And what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. That was symbolic that it is complete. So may I tell you that a part of his present ministry is that he rules sitting at the right hand of his Father. He completed his work. God gave him a work to be done, and he finished that work. You know something? We should joyfully remember the life that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. Think of his miraculous birth. Think of his sacrificial death. Think of his glorious resurrection. But brethren, I want you to know something tonight, that all of our hopes rest on the fact that he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father and that he is making intercession for you and me. He rules sitting at the right hand of the Father. Folks, he is back in his place of prominence. He is back in the place of honor, the place that he occupied before he came to this earth. In fact, we know that Jesus laid aside his royalty. He did not lay aside his deity, but he lay aside his royalty. He became man without ever ceasing to be God. But Jesus humbled himself even unto the death of the cross. But I want you to know this very moment, our Savior, your Savior, my Savior, is seated at the right hand of the Father in a place of prominence. He is ruling at the right hand of the Father. That's part of his present ministry. In fact, folks, Christ is at God's right hand. The Holy Spirit indwells every believer this evening, and he wants to move through the lives of those who are his own as Christ moved upon the face of the earth and as he worked and went about doing good. Brethren, I tell you, he wants to work in your life, and he wants to work through your life. Folks, the living Christ, and he is the living Savior, is very concerned about those who are his own, and he wants us to represent him to a lost and dying world. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ here and now, but he rules seated at the right hand of his Father. Take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter number 1. I want to show you something that I think is extremely important. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 19. So remember, he is ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father. Listen, Jesus is not distant from what is happening in our world today. The Lord Jesus Christ rules. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1 helps us to understand this more clearly. Ephesians 1 verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at this, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Don't you love that? Here we find Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says, I love that phrase, far above all principality, all powers, every name that is named. Listen, sometimes we come in life and we deal with things that we fear. But let me tell you something. Jesus rules seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is far above anything that we could ever fear. He is greater than anything that we could ever deal with in life. In fact, the Bible says that God has put all things under his feet. Can I tell you something? Some of the things that we're worried about, it's under the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because all things are there. He rules seated at the right hand of the Father. Number two this evening, not only does he rule seated at the right hand of the Father, but number two, he represents us as our advocate. Now take your Bibles, would you please, and go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Now, what is an advocate? All right? Now, all of us need an advocate. We need an advocate. But what is an advocate? An advocate is one who represents another. In fact, an advocate stands before a court and he presents the case of someone else. He represents this person and puts forward the pleas. For instance, you know, in a sense, when Brother and Mrs. Stevenson adopted little Elijah, I don't know if you saw him this morning, he looked like a preacher today, you know? Had his little suit coat on, little tie. I was ready for him to preach. I mean, just go right ahead, you know? But you know something? They had to have an advocate. They had to have someone that, in a sense, would go on their behalf and say, this couple is worthy to adopt this baby. And we're thankful that they got to adopt little Elijah, you know? And what a blessing that was. You know, and they had to come before a judge. I was there and my family was there. It was a great blessing to be able to see that. But someone had to go on their behalf. Someone had to represent them and say, hey, listen, I know this couple. In fact, I had to, give a witness, not there, but I had to talk on the phone with people and say, yes, I would trust them with my kids. And yes, they are admirable people. They have great character. In a sense, I advocated a little for them. But they had others who advocated for them. Brethren, can I tell you something tonight? You and I have an advocate, and his name is Jesus Christ. Yeah, can I tell you, his present ministry, not only is he ruling, sitting in the at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power, above and under his feet are all things and every name that is to be named. He rules. He is in control. He is on the throne. He is sovereign. But let me tell you, secondly, that Jesus represents us as our advocate. I love 1 John chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 1. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin," let me stop and say this to you, it is the desire of God that we do not sin. In fact, we should not sin just thinking, well, we've got an advocate. Brethren, the Bible says, God forbid that we live that kind of life. God doesn't want us to sin. But if any man, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Brethren, you have an advocate tonight. Now, let me explain this. You know something, by the way, we must never think this thought. We must never think of Jesus Christ having to plead with God the Father to have mercy on us. By the way, sometimes I've heard songs before, and I don't think people mean to do it, but they almost present the Lord Jesus Christ or almost as if God the Father is unreasonable and cannot find someone to go on the behalf of the people, and finally Jesus Christ is willing. Brethren, it was never that way. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world? And listen, Jesus willingly gave of himself, and it was the plan and the mind and the heart of God the Father to give his only begotten Son. So let us never think that there was an unwillingness on the part of God or Jesus to be our advocate. And by the way, he advocates for you and me out of love and out of care for us. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was him who was willing to come to this earth. It was the Father who sent the Son. In fact, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. I love that phrase. God was in Christ reconciling. God loved the world so much that he wanted the reconciliation of the world, and he gave his only begotten Son. Folks, often we do sin. If any man sin, I'm looking at a church tonight that you sin, and you're looking at a pastor who sins. Can I say this to you tonight? If you are concerned about your sin, and we should be concerned about our sin, I want you to know you have an advocate. You have someone that goes on your behalf. In fact, more than one child of God has been greatly discouraged because of sin in his or her life. I have been there, and I'm sure that you have been there. And maybe perhaps we succumbed to some temptation. Maybe we allowed our minds to go in a place where it should not go. Maybe we allowed our tongues to speak and say words that we should have never uttered. Maybe we deceived. Maybe we lived in a way that was not pleasing to Christ. But as soon as the child of God has sinned against a holy God, the Lord Jesus Christ is ministering as his advocate. I want you to know it tonight. He is our representative. He is the answer to all the accusations of the devil. In fact, do you know that Revelation chapter 12? You're there in 1 John. Would you just go to Revelation chapter 12? Can I show you something? Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10. Brethren, I'll tell you, the devil is your enemy tonight. He's my enemy tonight. The devil lies to us. He deceives us. But let me tell you something else. The devil accuses you. Who does he accuse you to? Well, he accuses you to yourself. He will try to accuse you to others. But let me tell you who he really accuses. He accuses you to God. Look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now, I want you to think about this just for a moment. By the way, aren't you going to be looking forward to that day that the accuser of the brethren is cast into the lake of fire?
Amen.
Praise be to God for that. I'm going to tell you something. The devil has done enough damage and hurt and harm. He is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of our church. And he is the enemy of every child of God. But he accuses you before God day and night. Think of that. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ, he goes on your behalf. He is our advocate. Charles Wesley wrote this. He said, "Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. Before the throne my surety stands." Mr. Wesley had it right. He knew that Christ went on his behalf. He advocated for him. And I want you to know something. Tonight, all of us here, we are frail, we are weak, we fall and we fail. But we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ. By the way, you know what? This encourages me so much because I don't know about you, but there are times when I feel that I cannot pray. Can I ask you something? How much ever felt that you just cannot pray? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? We've all been there. Maybe you feel in a time of backslidden state that you cannot turn to the Father. But can I tell you something? You're not alone. You're not alone when you feel that you cannot pray. You're not alone when you feel so distant from God. You see, sometimes we feel that we have no right to appeal a holy, righteous God. But I want you to remember something. You have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ. And he goes on your behalf. He represents you.
Amen.
Oh, listen, brother, I love the thought that Jesus Christ, he's not only ruling in the heaven, and all things are under his feet. He's far above everything. He rules and reigns. He is sovereign. He is in control. But not only that, he represents me and he represents you as our advocate. He goes on our behalf. By the way, 1 John chapter 2, would you go back there? Because I want you to see a couple of things as we talk about him being our advocate. Brother, by the way, can I just tell you this? It is a wonderful privilege to talk about Jesus. It's just a wonderful privilege. You know, there's coming a day when I will get to see him face to face. Are you looking forward to that day? Boy, the thought of that. To see my Savior face to face. I believe that when we see him, we will fall down at his feet. I'm not worthy to stand in his presence. But can I tell you something? In a sense, he has made us worthy. Because his record has been applied to our life. You know, this morning I talked about the mercy of God. And boy, that's kind of held on to me this afternoon. I am not deserving of God's mercy. And none of us are deserving of his mercy. And brethren, why? What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that God would love us so much to give his only begotten Son? But not only that, but that God gave his Son to be our advocate. Listen, this is his present ministry. Jesus is not finished working in your life. He is working this very moment. He's working, ruling, sitting at the right hand of the Father. But he's representing you as your advocate. 1 John chapter 2, and I want you to look back in verse number 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Now that little word "with," right after the word "advocate," it's a very precious word in the Greek. And can I simply tell you what it means? It means face to face. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's sometimes when I think, God, I don't even deserve to lift up my face. It's kind of like the publican who the Bible says he stood far off. He didn't feel worthy to even come really into the temple. And he smote upon his breast and he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know what? Sometimes I think we come before God and we think, "God, I'm not worthy to even pray. Lord, I don't deserve for you to answer my prayer." But the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Because of what Jesus does for us, he brings us into the very presence of God face to face. Face to face. You know what? There are some people that I will never get to see face to face. You know what? Maybe some popular person, some person of royalty. I would never come to face with them. But folks, I want you to know, because of Jesus Christ, you're face to face with the Father. Amen. Think of that. And by the way, it does not mean that he now and again enters in and is allowed to represent us, but rather that Jesus is always there representing you and me. He is always looking into the face of the Father. Listen, face to face, think about that. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, by the way, so when you have sinned and you are full of a sense of shame and guilt and you feel you have no right to approach God, remember, you have an advocate with the Father. You know what the devil does to us? The devil accuses, well, the devil tempts us to sin, and then he condemns us because of our sin. And then he brings guilt and condemnation that God doesn't love us and God is finished with us. But what does Jesus do? He goes on our behalf and he represents us and he brings us into the presence of God. He is face to face with the Father and he enables us to be in the presence of the Father. Oh, listen, we have an advocate tonight. And tonight, if you think, Pastor, God could never forgive me of the sin in my life, listen, you have an advocate tonight. You need to, in a sense, access your advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. By the way, who is this advocate? Well, the Bible says Jesus Christ, but it goes on to say Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, why did the Bible use that terminology? It means this. You have an advocate who is perfect in every aspect. By the way, do you know that, folks, Jesus Christ is righteous? He never sinned. No fault was ever found in him. He is absolutely perfect, and I need a perfect advocate to represent me in the very presence of God. And by the way, folks, you can have confidence tonight that when you come to your advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, he totally understands what you are dealing with. Why? Because he became a man without ceasing to be God. In fact, the Bible tells us that we don't have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Our advocate understands our feelings. Our advocate understands the feelings of shame and guilt. He understands us completely because he is perfect and sinless. Jesus Christ, the righteous. By the way, brethren, our Lord's advocacy upon our life is a wonderful provision for us in our prayer life. It's a wonderful provision for us in our holy living. In fact, here is a provision that will give us courage to go to him. You know what? Sometimes I think this happens. We fail the Lord. We sin against God. And then you know what we do? We run away from the Lord. By the way, I've seen this in church before. People get out of church. They're not faithful to church. We're not mad at them. But you know what the devil makes them believe? Everybody's mad at me there at church. Everybody's upset with me there. And if I come back, everybody's going to look down upon me and scowl upon me and all of that. But it's not that way. In fact, I've gone to visit people before. I say, hey, we sure miss you. As pastor, I'm just so embarrassed to come back to church. Well, who did that? The devil put that in their mind. But you know, the truth of the matter is, if they will come back, can I tell you what? We love you. We miss you. But can I tell you something? If we can think that way, how much more our Heavenly Father? We think, boy, God's mad at me. No, he's not. Can I tell you something? He loves you. He cares for you. He is ready to forgive. He is ready to cleanse. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Amen. Brethren, you have an advocate tonight. He goes on your behalf. Oh, listen, what a thought tonight. He rules, seated at the right hand of the Father, but he represents as our advocate. But number three, the last thing tonight, he remains as our intercessor. He intercedes for you and me. Brethren, how does the Lord Jesus Christ intercede for us? Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 7, because I want to show you something in closing here. Hebrews chapter number 7, and I want us to look in verses 24 to 27. Look at this passage here. He intercedes. Now you think, well, Pastor, isn't that the same thing as being my advocate? No, it's a little different. He intercedes for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus intercedes for you and me. Now, I'm going to give you some simple things about how he intercedes. Number one, he intercedes by praying for you. I love the thought that Jesus prays for me. But can I tell you something? He prays for you. I am grateful when people often call me or text me, Pastor, pray for me. And I want you to do that. And I hope that you will do it, especially during times of trial. And like Brother Jim, before the service, I was in a deacon's meeting, but he texted me and I got it on my watch and it said, Pastor, pray for me. We need prayers right now. And I'm praying for him. We pray for him as a church. But can I tell you something? There is someone that even if you cannot get, you think, like for me, you may not be able to get a hold of me, but there's someone that you can always get a hold of because he's always praying for you. Amen. You know what? I'm not always praying for you. I pray for you. I pray for all of you by name every week, but I don't pray for you every moment of every day. And can I tell you, you don't pray for me every moment of every day. But Jesus intercedes by praying for you. He prays for you. I don't have time to turn there, but Luke chapter 22, you remember Peter? Proud, arrogant Peter, self-dependent Peter. And Peter said, Lord, everybody else may deny you, but not me. I will not deny you. And you know what Jesus said? Peter, before the cock crow, three times, you will have denied me three times. And Peter, he said, nevertheless, he said, I have prayed for thee. Boy, I love the thought. You know, I think of my kids, and they're all here tonight. It's a blessing. And there's other things I have to deal with. They want to sit by my wife on the couch, and I have to get up. I'm sitting by my wife, your mother, on the couch. It's crazy. I have to fight where to sit when all my kids are home. It's just, it's ungodly is what it is, all right? But anyway, but you know, I pray for my kids. Man, I want them to follow the Lord, whatever God has them to do. I just wanted to follow the Lord, and I pray for them. And I often, especially to my kids away, I'll text them, I'm praying for you today. I'm praying for you. But I'm praying for them. But can I tell you what encourages me the most? I'm praying for them, but Jesus is praying for them. Amen. And can I tell you tonight, I pray for you, but what encourages me more? Jesus is praying for you. He's interested in our lives. He's praying for us. Our Savior knows the end from the beginning, and He knows, despite all the desires of our heart, what is before us, and He prays for us. Brethren, it's a great encouragement to me tonight to know Jesus is praying for me and you. We have a Master in heaven, and He knows all the details of life. He knows the trials. He knows the temptations and the snares of the devil. And He prays for us. He is seated, ruling at the right hand of the Father. He is our advocate. He represents us, but He prays for you and me. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is all the time praying for you and me. Folks, do you know what? Last night, you slept through the night. But while you were sleeping, Jesus was praying for you. What a thought that is. He intercedes by praying for us. Number two, He intercedes by His providential care. Now, I love the thought that He is providing for us, but His providence in our life. Folks, day and night, He offers our names before the Father in heaven. No matter how weak we may be, we are kept before the Father, because Jesus Christ is our eternal high priest in the heavens. Now, by the way, He's not a high priest that has to confess His own sin and then the sins of the people. No, brethren, He is sinless. He is high, holy. He is the priest above all priests. And He represents you and me. Folks, just as Jesus looked after His disciples and His followers here on earth, He is now equally active in the heaven. In fact, I don't think that I can totally understand this, but you know that when Jesus was leaving earth, you know what he said? He said, in a sense, that he looked at his disciples and he said, it is in your best interest that I leave here on earth and go sit at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? I'm sure those disciples thought, Lord, it is not good for you to leave. We can see you. We can touch you. We can talk to you face to face. But Jesus said, it is in your best interest. It is best for you that I go away. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is closer to us than what we could ever imagine or think. Jesus intercedes for you and me. He prays for us. But his providential care. Brethren, no circumstance of life catches him unaware. Someone once said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? I love that. Brethren, listen, those accidents in life, the Lord knew that ahead of time. The Lord makes provision for you and me. He is able to anticipate, and he is able to be our intercessor who pleads for you and me. Brethren, there is not a problem or a difficulty confronting you at this very moment in which God is not interested in. Why? He prays for you, but he intercedes in his providential care. But the last thing, he intercedes by providing for our prayers. Do you know what the Lord Jesus does? By the way, and I'll give you an illustration. It's a limited illustration. But also often when my wife and I, when our kids were very small, and when they couldn't really talk, you know, sometimes I would look at my wife and I would say, what are they saying? Now, they didn't say anything that was like you couldn't understand it, all right? And I knew they weren't speaking in tongues, all right? I knew that. But they were gibbering, jabbering. And you know what often my wife would say? She knew what they wanted. She understood it. Brother, let me say this to you. So often I go into the presence of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't even know how to pray. Have you been there? I don't even know what to pray. And so often I come before God and I'll say, God, I don't even know what to pray, but Lord, you know this situation, and I pray thy will to be done. Can I tell you what Jesus Christ does? He intercedes by providing for your prayers. He tells the Father what you need because he knows what you need. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. You wouldn't believe your prayer when the Lord Jesus gets finished with your prayer. Because he goes on our behalf. He intercedes for you and me. In fact, you remember when Jesus Christ was on the cross, and the Bible says that he gave up the ghost. And in that moment, the very finger of Almighty God reached down into the temple's most holy place, and the veil of the temple was rent in two. Can I tell you what that was a symbol of? That now any man, because of Jesus, can go straight into the very presence of God. Brethren, I'll tell you something. He provides for your prayer. Folks, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross of Calvary. He paid our sin debt. He rose from the grave, and he ascended on high and made a way that you and I can talk to God. Brethren, what a thought that you and I can talk to the Father. Let's go and close into Hebrews chapter number 4, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 4, and I want you to notice verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. The Bible says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Folks, don't waver. Hold fast. Hold fast your profession. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is touched, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My children, when they were very young, and they don't do it now, obviously, because they're a little more mature, but honestly, I didn't stop them. But when they were very little, and either at my study at my house or at my office study, if my kids wanted their daddy, they came on in. Sometimes I was counseling. And you know what? They just busted right in. You know why? Because that's my daddy. And my daddy said, come boldly in. Now, I understand. There's times I had to say, okay, we got to go outside here. Here's some candy. Go outside, all right, you know, or something, you know. But can I tell you something? They knew they could come boldly. But brethren, can I tell you something? Sometimes we are almost fearful to come into the presence of God. That Jesus is praying for you. He intercedes for you. Can I tell you, He is your advocate. And folks, He rules seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh, praise His holy name tonight, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. But brethren, He's your Savior, and He's my friend, and He's your friend tonight. And that is the present ministry of our Savior. Brethren, one day it'll be face to face, and our faith will be turned into sight. But right now, let's rest and trust, knowing He rules, seated at the right hand of the Father. He represents us as our advocate. And folks, can I tell you something? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He intercedes for you and me. Let's remember the present ministry of our Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Father, oh, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to talk about Your ministry. Lord, thank You that You're active, working in our lives. But Lord, tonight, may we take advantage of this privilege. Lord, may we not live below our privileges, but may we seek Thy face. May tonight we live with confidence, knowing that You love us and You're working in our lives. May tonight we come before You confessing our sin because we have an advocate with the Father. Lord, do Your work tonight in our hearts. Folks, our heads bowed and our eyes are closed. Can I tell you something tonight? If you have fear, can you just remember that He rules seated at the right hand of the Father and He's aware? Trust Him. Rest upon Him. Tonight, if there's sin in your life and you're afraid to come before the Father, He already knows about your sin. But Jesus, He'll represent you. He loves you and cares for you, as does the Father. Come and ask for His forgiveness and cleansing, because He will be your advocate. But tonight, can I tell you something? He's interceding for you. He liveth to make intercession for you. Tonight, come boldly into His presence. Let's stand together, would you please? I'd like to finish this prayer tonight, and then let's do business with the Lord. Father, we love You, and we thank You for Your present ministry. Lord, may we take advantage of this ministry. May we, Lord, abide in Thee and allow Your work and comfort in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymn. Let's go to hymn number 546. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Brother Stevenson is going to come to lead us tonight. You have fear? Come. Bring it before Him. He rules. Tonight there's sin? Come. He'll advocate for you. And tonight you're afraid to pray? Come. Speak to Him. He'll enter in His seat. Hymn number 546. If God has spoken to your heart, would you leave your seat and come? may be seated.